ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles, Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read a verse. And I want you to follow me keenly, because there's a way I'm going to tie this if I could get to the end, you know, of this sermon today. Otherwise, I will tie it next week. And I want to say, I'm teaching on the topic that I've titled, very simple. And I know for some of you, it will give some concern, but you know what I'm talking about very soon. I said, tomorrow is better. Turn to your neighbor and say, tomorrow is better. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Praise God. Permit me to announce to you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, that tomorrow is better. Hallelujah. Permit me to announce to the discouraged that tomorrow is better. I was talking to somebody, you know, who was perplexed, you know, by situations around her, you know, and the situations happening, things are not unfolding, you know, the way they should. I was talking, you know, sometimes ago to somebody who had a particular health challenge and he thought the end had come. He thought, well, I have no reason to look, you know, beyond now. I have no reason to think about tomorrow. And I said to the person, I said, no, surely there's hope in your head. And so I want to say to those that are discouraged, I want to say to those that are lonely, fallen, that tomorrow is better. No matter what you are going through today, no matter the challenge you're facing today, no matter the tears, the people that have been abandoned, you know, people that thought they have no help, they have no parents to support, they have no family to support. I want you to know today that tomorrow is better. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you see, no matter the challenge, no matter the failure you are facing today, no matter the abandonment that you are passing through today, you know, I want to announce and I want to say to you boldly, that tomorrow is better. Why should you give up? Why should you contemplate suicide? You have a lot of people, you know, are dying today. The rate of suicide has increased all around us. You know, the rich, you know, killing themselves. The poor killing themselves. The people that people look up to, you know. You know, some people say, if I can be like this person. And then suddenly you said he's falling down, you know, from three story. You know, people that people say that if I can have this kind of business, I'm sure that he's committed suicide. People that you look to, if I can have the kind of cars, the kind of riches that these people display, you know, the way they look, the way they dress, the number of companies they have, you know, the number and the volume of money they have, how they display opulence. And I just suddenly found out, I said, the person has committed suicide. There's something that is killing people. And that is the devil saying to them that your tomorrow can never be better than today. And that's what's killing people. That's why people are giving up. That's why people are killing themselves. That's why people, you know, are looking for changes all around them. That's why people are not aspiring. You know, that's why people are not thinking deeply, because the devil has convinced them. The devil has persuaded them that today is the best of your days. But no, tomorrow is better than today. Hallelujah, somebody. And that's why I'm teaching you this morning, that if you can hold on, and I'm going to teach you how you are going to hold on very soon, that tomorrow is surely better. Tomorrow is pregnant, you know, for you. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot to live for. Much more await. And I can feel an abundance of rain. Praise God. I can feel an abundance of rain. Even though the sky appears cloudy and you cannot discern the prospect of a harvest, I announce to you this morning that I feel and I see that the rain is about to fall. Praise God, somebody. You have a fruitful, plenteous harvest, and that will happen tomorrow. Your tomorrow will be better. If you believe that, come and shout hallelujah. Let me say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. Life is full of trouble, no matter your station. You know, sometimes people think that the rich don't have troubles. You know, I remember that soap opera many years ago, you know, growing up. They say, the rich also cry. Did you watch that? And the truth of the matter is that the rich also cry. In fact, you know, sometimes the rich even cry more than the poor, because the rich have so many things to protect. The rich have so many destiny to protect. They have, you know, accounts A, account B, account C, account D to protect. But the poor does not have more than one account, if at all, even you have any account at all. So I want you to know that troubles happen to everybody. Money does not protect from trouble. Connection does not protect from trouble. Knowing people does not protect from trouble. Trouble, listen, you don't like this, but that's the truth. Trouble is part of life. Oh, did you get that? Trouble is part of life. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, trouble will come. Praise God, trouble will come. And that's why Ephesians 4 was talking, you know, to the church. He said, when the day of trouble comes, if trouble does not happen to everybody, he won't say when the day of trouble comes. He will say, if the day of trouble comes. Actually, you become strengthened by troubles of life, challenges of life. You are not immune. Whether you're educated, you can be a professor. You know, you are not immune to troubles and challenges of life. What you need to know is how to navigate. What you need to have is a person that will help you through troubles. What you need to know is the strength that can come to you, you can generate in the day of trouble. Whether we join hands together, trouble will come. And that's why you need to listen, you know, to this message I'm sharing with you today. Life is full of troubles and challenges. And that's why they say life is not fair. Have you heard people say that? Life is not fair. And that's the truth. Oh, you think that's not true? That's very true. Because the Bible makes us to know. It said the princes, they walk, you know, and the servants, what do? They are the ones riding horses. That shows life is not fair. Praise God. That means there's something to life more than life. Praise God. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there's this life, and there's a life. When you have the life of Jesus, that's when life becomes balanced. Without Jesus in your boat, life will rock you. Life will turn you. Storm will enter into your boat and you will sink, even with your money and your bank accounts. Troubles come in various sizes, various stages of life. If you did not have one in the morning, be sure one is coming in the afternoon. If you did not have one in the afternoon, surely one will come in the evening time. Trouble comes. Sometimes money, connections, and power will fail. They will fail to take away certain troubles and challenges. We need strength. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need strength. Turn to another neighbor and say, you need wisdom. At difficult times of life, strength is what we carry you through. It's not money that will carry you through. Praise God. I've seen in the book of Proverbs, it says money develop wings and they fly. You can have all the riches, but the riches can disappear. You can have all the connections and find out that the day you need all the connections, the door will be locked. I'm sure some have experienced that before. But when you have strength, whether the law is logged, whether the money is there or money is not there, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you will come out clean, better, and stronger when you have strength. And I'm going to tell you how you get that strength. When I say tomorrow is better, I'm saying to you, based, you know, on certain factors. I'm not just saying tomorrow is better to make you feel good. I'm not saying tomorrow is better because I want to just take away your sorrow. No, I'm not inspiring you. Do you understand? I'm teaching, I'm preaching based on the truth of God's word. And so I'm going to give you certain factors that made me to say to you, you know, that tomorrow is better. The first one, because you have Jesus in your life. The Bible says Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That is the first reason I'm saying to you today that tomorrow is better. No matter how you look today, because you have Jesus. I don't know how tomorrow will look like if Jesus is not in your boat. If you are seated here this morning, you haven't given your life to Christ, and then I don't know about your tomorrow. I don't know about your future. Tomorrow can swallow you. Tomorrow can be the end. Sickness can swallow you. Challenges of life can swallow you. You can be part of the people that will commit suicide. But when Jesus is in your boat, ladies and gentlemen, you have nothing to worry about. And now on that premise, I'm saying to you that tomorrow is better. You know why? You might not know tomorrow. You might not know how tomorrow will turn. But when you have Jesus in your life, Jesus knows tomorrow. You know why I know he knows tomorrow? Because the Bible calls him, he said, he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. In other words, he is the beginning and he is the end. You don't get it. Jesus is the one that spoke your life into existence. You know, he spoke it from the beginning. And you know what he's done? He's gone to the end and he's marshalling your movement because he is the beginning and he's the end. And so he's guiding your movement. He's guiding your today. He's guiding your tomorrow. He's guiding your future because he is the hope that you have. When you have hope, you're not bothered whether you have money in your pocket. Why people lose life is because they don't have hope. Why people give up on life. Why people leave school. Why people abandon, you know, education. Why people abandon, you know, destiny. Why people abandon, you know, whatever they lay their hands upon. It's because they lose hope. You know, because God knows that our hope resides in him. That's why he said the righteous can fall. But he said the righteous will rise again. You know, because he knows when the righteous have Christ in him, you know, that is not the end. Falling is not the end. Did you believe that? Falling is not the end. Why? Because Jesus is in your life. Hebrews 13, it says Jesus is the same today. He's the same tomorrow. Is the same, you know, forever. That is the man that is in your life. The same today. The same tomorrow. He's saying that Jesus is constant. He's saying his power is constant. And when he's talking about future, he's talking about future in time. He's talking about future in period. He's talking about future even in eternity. When you have the man that has a future, you know, in your boat, ladies and gentlemen, you can sleep. You got all worries in this life to make when he's not in your boat. You have all, you know, the worries, all the challenges to think about. He is not in your boat. But when he's in your boat, oh, I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, you can take a nap. Because your tomorrow, surely, you know, will be better. He is the Alpha and he's the Omega. Why am I saying tomorrow is better? The second reason. The first reason is because you have Jesus. And so if you don't have Jesus, you need to do something about that at the end of the service. You need to think about Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. The second reason follows the fact that you have Jesus in your boat. Because the promises of God and his word assure that tomorrow is better. What is said in his word, the promises he's made in his word assures that tomorrow is better. No matter the way you look today, no matter what is bothering you today, no matter the challenge, the tears, you sleep and then you wet your pillows with tears and you don't want to wake up. I've been there before. I sleep and I feel like not waking up. I feel like rapture will just happen because I know when I get in under morning, there's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some people, you know, tearing me up and tearing me to the back. Praise God. But I got to know along the line that when Jesus is in my boat, let him tear me to the front and to the back, I'm going to have victory. Because the promises of God, Proverbs 4:8, it said, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's the first instance in the scriptures that says tomorrow is better. Can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? It is a curse for a Christian to remain on the same spot. It is again the spirit of the scriptures. I say every believer must be taking a step, worst step, one in a day. That is the worst situation a Christian should be. You are slow. But you are moving, isn't it? Because the Bible says your path is as the shining light. When you get to this station, your light is lit. When you get to the next station, the path is brighter. When you get to the next station, the path is brighter. That is the purpose of God for a believer. And that is why every step will signify a future. Every step will signify your tomorrow. According to the scripture, will be getting brighter. May he never be your portion that you move forward and then you get confused. May he never be your portion that you move forward and because there's sudden darkness, you have to go backward. That is against the scripture. The Bible says the righteous will always move forward. That's the scripture. There's no place in the Bible that promises us that a righteous will go backward. We continue to move from glory unto glory. Job 8:7. Though your beginning was small, praise God. Today, you can look ordinary. Today, you can look inconsequential. Today, there's nothing about your life that is attractive. There's nothing about your life that I want to emulate or somebody wants to emulate. As a matter of fact, I don't want to use your story, you know, to pray. As a matter of fact, I don't want to envy the situation you find yourself. As a matter of fact, I don't want to envy. I want to move away from you. I don't want to relate with you like a leprous being. That is today, ladies and gentlemen. But what the Bible says concerning you, it says even though your beginning might be small, insignificant, but the Bible says, Lord, let a hand, hallelujah. In other words, if you are small today, as you begin to make progress in purpose, you begin to make progress in your destiny, you begin to make progress, you know, concerning tomorrow, the Bible says there shall be increase. There shall be increase. There shall be increase. There shall be increase. Praise God. The path of the righteous will begin to draw fatness. The story of the righteous will begin to draw fatness. You know, the things around the righteous will be fatness. That's what the Bible is saying. Your beginning, even though small, the Bible says, yes, your hand will increase greatly. I like a translation. It says, your final days will be full of prosperity. Your final days. Your present days might be insignificant. Thus saith the Lord, your final days shall be full of prosperity. Jeremiah 29:1, doesn't that promise of God to us? Jeremiah 29:1, God talking to us about the thoughts that he has towards us. God is talking, you know, about his thoughts. I like it. When a father begins to reveal the way he's thinking about the children. When the parents begin to reveal the way their perception, their ideas, their goals, their desires, you know, for their children. And the Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I'm talking to you about your tomorrow is better. Because this is what God is saying. It's a plan to prosper you. Glory to Jesus. Are you not excited about that? He's talking about his plan. You know the man that is talking about the plan? The man that is talking about the plan, if it's not your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father, you know that I'm going to death tomorrow. He can promise you this, but Nigeria can happen to your Heavenly Father. Don't you know that? Dollar is now 1,500. Your father promised you that he will send you abroad when dollar was 600. You know, he can promise you that he's going to do this for you. Probably when dollar was 400, suddenly, dollar has become 1,500. He will say, let's have a family meeting. You see, I will not be able to. But not God. Who does not walk by the abundance of the heart. He walks by the abundance of the heaven. Praise God. Father of the fatherless. Father that is more than your father. His name is Abba Father. That is the man that is talking. You don't know the man that is talking. The man that said to Moses, when you get before Pharaoh, the way you introduce yourself to Pharaoh is, I am has sent me. No matter how rich, no matter how big, no matter how connected a man is, he can never say, my name is I am. He will still have a name. The best he can do to those names is to have professor and to have the engineer. After they've had their professor, they say professor emeritus. Kini wan tun fe so leyin professor emeritus. But this man say, when you get, you know, before Pharaoh, don't say a professor had come. Don't say that God has come. Don't say a specialist has come. Don't say a big man has come. When you enter, oh, praise God. Don't even say a king has come. Because you see, Pharaoh can be saying, so, Chebi king, no, you mean not king, you are not. So what are you talking about? He said, I am. The name that Pharaoh can never answer. He said, say to him that I am has come. And that was the beginning of the destruction of Pharaoh. You know, because he hosted I am. A mighty man of warrior. Yahweh. That is the man that is making promises. You don't get what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that when God has made a promise and there's going to be barriers, when he appears in his I am, lift up your head, so ye gates, who are the fools. Who is eating and dog is wagging tail. When he makes the promise, he will ensure that the promise is done. You know, sometimes when God makes promises, you want to fulfill the promise by your own self. God has said something to me, and so I want to use my strength to accomplish it. That's how you fail. That's how you wreck tomorrow. But when God makes you promise, and you stand and say, God, you made the promise. Jehoshaphat was going to go into war. You know, and Jehoshaphat went before God. Jehoshaphat said, God, these enemies are mightier than we. They are bigger than we. The army is stronger than us. He said, going against these people is going to be destruction. We are going to commit alacrity, suicide. I said, God, what are we going to do? And God said, oh boy, you don't need to fight in the battle. I'm going to fight in the battle. You know what you need to do. You just come and worship me. You worship me and you leave the rest. That is God that has made promise. He said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. I like this. And not to harm you. Amen. When God comes upon, you know, the throne and he gets into your boat, he does not have a plan to harm you. You know, even when he looks, that look, there's a harm coming my way. You know, when the apostles were in the boat and there was storm and Jesus was sleeping, they thought they would be abandoned and neglected. They thought God, Jesus, had led them for peril. They thought that was the end. You know, and they tried all they could. Probably they spoke some tongues. No, there was no speaking in tongues that time. You know, probably they just do all the... And after a while, one of them just said, oh boy, go get Jesus. He's so insensitive. He's sleeping with this storm. When you have Jesus in your boat, even no matter the storm, you can snore. You can snore. He said, have plan for good and not for disaster. That's another translation. Have plan for your good and not for disaster. He said, have plan not to harm you. Have plan to give you hope. I like that. I'm talking about tomorrow is better. He said, have plan to give you hope and to give you a future. If it looks like the future is bleak and it looks like you don't have hope, ladies and gentlemen, what have you done with Jesus? When Jesus is in your life, when Jesus is in the boat, you have a future and you have a hope. And as I'm sharing this thought with you this morning, arise and say, have a better tomorrow. Arise, even you look small today. He said your tomorrow will be greater. That's what the Bible has promised us. For I know the thought that I think towards you, the thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you hope, to give you an expected hand. What is the kind of hand that you expect? He said, I'm giving you the expected hand. Number three, why am I saying to you that tomorrow is better? There's a prophecy over your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, brother, there's a prophecy over your life. Turn to our neighbor and say, there's a prophecy over your destiny. God has spoken good concerning you. You know what the Bible says? You know, there's a land. And, you know, when there was famine in Samaria, everything was disturbed and there was no food to eat. There was no rain in the land. You know, and they was eating themselves. They were eating sheep and everything was then disturbed. So bad was the situation in Samaria that the king said, I could not help you. The Lord will not help you. And suddenly, a prophet came upon the scene, like a prophet will come upon your life. You know what the Bible says? It says, and so a prophet came and he went to the king and said, by this time tomorrow, in other words, nation, you are going to have a better tomorrow. If a whole nation can have a better tomorrow, what about your life, a single person? Your tomorrow is better, ladies and gentlemen. He said, by this time tomorrow. In other words, within 24 hours, there's going to be a change in the story of the nation. There's going to be plenty where there was scarcity. There's going to be hope where there's hopelessness. There's going to be success where there have been failures. There's going to be a revival in the land. He said within 24 hours. What God cannot do does not exist. What situation that God cannot change does not exist. No matter how bad the situation looks, no matter how hopeless the situation looks, 24 hours is a big time for God to turn things around. And I want to say to you seated here, I say by this time tomorrow, there will be shaking that begin to happen in your life in the name of Jesus. By this time tomorrow, there will be a divine visitation in your situation in the name of Jesus. By this time tomorrow, the money you are trusting God for will come your way in the name of Jesus. By this time tomorrow, you are going to have an appointment, even that you're giving up on, in the name of Jesus. By this time tomorrow, you'll be sent for in Jesus' name. David was troubled. He said, is there anyone? He's not asking for the qualified. David was troubled. He said, anyone, is there anyone that is left in the house of Saul? For Jonathan's sake, I want to bless somebody. Praise God. I want to say to you by the spirit of prophecy that the king will lose their sleep because of you in the name of Jesus. It's not going to be ordinary people. Kings in high places, married men, the rich, they will lose their sleep because of you in the name of Jesus. They come looking for you in the name of Jesus. David said, is there any person I want to bless? Anyone that is left. I don't need help from that person, so let it be anybody. I said, excuse me. There's somebody, I don't know whether you want to bless that person. It's irrelevant. It's in the land of forgetfulness. I'm talking about people here, seated here this morning, you'll be abandoned. Possibly in the land of forgetfulness. They've written you off. Even parents have written you off. Relations have written you off. You are struggling on your own. You are struggling. You are begging. Things are so bad. You know, nobody wants to see you. Your family, they don't want to relate with you because you become a perpetual failure. You know, you've been dropping. You know, you've been falling. You know what happened to David? You know, when Saul, you know, when David, no. When the prophet was going to get a king, you know, for Israel, the father brought out the big men in the house. You know, Samuel, he brought out the big men in the house. He brought out the tall, the lanky, you know, the eloquent, the achievers of the family. But God said, no. I'm not dealing with achievers. You know what God is saying? I don't want to miss my glory with glory of men. I don't want a king that will say I succeed because, you know, I'm big. I don't want to get a king that will say I succeed because I can speak English. I don't want to get a king that will say I succeed because of my complexion. I don't want to get a king that says I succeed because of my connection. No! God said no. The other one, God said no. The other one, God said no. And he said, yeah. There's no other person. The father had abandoned David. He did not know that the man that he has abandoned is actually the pillar of his family. You've been abandoned like David was abandoned. You've been forgotten like Mephibosheth had been forgotten. I said to you, according to the word of the Lord, you'll be remembered today in the name of Jesus. Because there's a prophecy over your life. He said, by this time tomorrow, things will change. And you're going to have a testimony in the name of Jesus. You know what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:9. It said, eyes have not seen. That's prophecy over your life. Eyes have not seen. Ears not heard. It says, never occurred to the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. If you love the Lord, come and shout hallelujah. Eyes have not seen. Where God is taking you to, you haven't comprehended it. God is revealing it to you gradually. And that's why I made bold to say your tomorrow is better than your today. Because eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It's not occurred to the heart of man. You know, the intention of God for your life. The counsel of God for your life. Ladies and gentlemen, don't write off your life and your destiny because your tomorrow is better. Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah, God speaking to him, was bothered. He said, who am I? I'm nobody. You know. Then the Bible said, you can say whatever you like, but this is what I've said about you. And this, you know, pertains to you. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I've sanctified thee. And I've ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's talking about your destiny. You don't get it. Because sometimes you think that's talking about Jeremiah. He's not talking about Jeremiah alone. He's talking to as many people that have Jesus in their lives. Your destiny is to nations. It's not only to your family. It's not only to your parents. It's not only to the people around you. So your destiny, your purpose, you know, is for the nations. Little wonder the Bible says the whole world has been subject to vanity because you are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of men. You think APC is going to redeem? You think PDP is going to redeem? In America, even, they're in a bigger shit. Somebody says the president should step down, you know, and then the one that wants to come in, they wanted to shoot him yesterday. We are not know whether it was shot or not. You don't get it. But you are voting for that. You don't know that actually the world is waiting for you. Glory to God. I'm going to appear to the world one day, and they're going to say, this is the man we've been waiting for. You enter into an office. They'll say, yeah, give him the letter of appointment. This is the man we've been waiting for. You're going to, you know, bid for a particular, you know, offer of business. And they say, yeah, that is the man we are waiting for. And his paper remain one. Just go supply the paper. That is the man that is going to do the job. Because they've been waiting for you. They've been waiting for you, but you are waiting for them. You need to get, you know, the perception of the Bible to know, say, they are waiting for you. Don't wait for nobody. You are the happening to the nations. You are the happening, you know, to your continent. You are the happening to your family. Even though you've been rejected today, you are going to become the cornerstone tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the first reason. Psalm 91:11. He said, when you're in trouble, as I'm with you in trouble, as I'm going to deliver you from trouble, I am going to have a testimony. That assures me that your tomorrow is better. Those are the points that instructs the title of what I'm sharing with you. I wish that somebody will rise up, you know, at the end of this service, and then you face the devil and you bloody fool the devil. The devil have been saying, your hand has come. There's no tomorrow. There's no help. There's no favor on you. You face the devil and say, tomorrow is better. No matter what I see today, devil, get off me and get out of here. You keep the devil out. You keep the devil out. How do you prepare for tomorrow? I want you to get this. The place we read, 40:31. Now listen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, the word wait upon the Lord, the original word can be translated in three different ways. And if you got these, then we sing and we leave. I have 4 points on how to prepare for tomorrow. Praise God. You know, if you have a wedding and you're preparing for the wedding, you know that the way you prepare for the wedding is different from the way you prepare for daily living, isn't it? You know, some people you think they are cool, you know, daily living. Let them go and dress for wedding. You don't know whether they look better or they look like masquerade because it depends on the masquerade or ma that you get. You know, some they will paint you up like this, and then when we see you in photo, we want to say, no, this is not the person. Because the bottom line is that there's a special occasion I'm preparing for it, isn't it? Some we want to do their fingers. And see certain fingers and say, oh boy, do you cook for your husband in the house? You want to see certain fingers and say, do you wash at all? You know? And then they do the finger like this. You know? But the bottom line is what? They are preparing. Isn't it? So, there's a way to prepare for an harvest. There's a way to enter into your tomorrow. And the Bible says here, yeah, same word, translated 3 ways, and I'm going to link the two together. The Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord. Now, that same word, it can be translated, those that wait for the Lord. So, those that wait upon the Lord is the same thing as those that wait for the Lord. Now, listen, this is where I'm going. The same word is translated, those that hope for the Lord. So you can see some translation of the Bible that will say those that hope for the Lord. You can see some translation that will say those that wait for the Lord. You can see some translation that will say those that wait on the Lord. So let me tie it together. Now, what the Bible is saying, and the first part I want you to get is this, waiting. Listen, you need to get this now. Waiting for the Lord is the same thing as hoping for the Lord. So when you are waiting, you are hoping. When you have hope, when you say, I have hope, what you are doing is you are waiting. Now, one thing about hope is that hope gives you strength for the future. When you are hoping for something, what is the first thing that you're doing? Your expectation is high. And so that's what the Bible says, I suppose in the book of Hebrews, that said the anchor of the soul is hope. In other words, what makes you, now listen to this, what makes you to continue to live is if you can create hope in the situation that you find yourself. And so, how do you create hope? How does hope come upon your situation? And that's why you must learn the art of waiting. Waiting strengthens, birth and strengthens hope. The people that are done for in life are people that have lost hope. When you see that somebody commits suicide, he committed suicide because he's lost hope. When you see somebody has given up, he's given up because he's lost hope. And so, one of the things a believer must be able to keep that is precious is hope. And that's why I will link it up to Colossians 1. When you have Christ in you, then the first thing that Christ birth in you at salvation is hope. Let me put in another way, hope and faith, they work together. Can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? How will you get this? Faith will not work except you have hope. That's where the tie is. And so, the first thing that I want you to get is to learn how to wait. Let me tell you three things that waiting on the Lord will produce. The first thing that waiting on the Lord will produce for you is strength. Now, you need strength, you know, because I said to us that troubles will happen to all of us. Christianity does not immune you from trouble. Serving the devil does not immune you from trouble. The thing that Christianity does, Jesus does in you, is that it gives you strength to live even when you're in trouble. When it looks, you know, that the barn is empty, and it looks there's no harvest, and it looks that all hope is lost, but a believer in Christ, because you've been waiting on him, a believer in Christ, we have strength to go through the shit of life. A believer, we have strength to stand today. You know, the Bible says, stand therefore, having done all, stand. What makes you to be able to stand is after you learn to wait for him. When you're in a bus stop, and a man says, I'm coming to pick you at 4. I see that the man has not come 4:05. What do? You are waiting. When he hasn't come 4:10, what do? You are waiting. When he hasn't come 4:30, you know, what do? You are waiting. You know why? Because you know that the man that said he's coming will surely come. Possibly something is keeping him. Probably something happened on the road. But I trust the integrity of this man that is coming. And so you need strength. But let me put it in another way, you don't get it yet. It is difficult to wait, except there's a strength to wait. The easiest thing for all of us, you see, after you're waiting for a while, you become restless, isn't it? You want to go. If I want to continue to preach here for the next 2 hours now, you begin to see people go to the toilet, they will come, and then they'll be changing chairs, even though fantastic message, but you begin. Because it's difficult to wait. One of the ways to punish a person is to say, sit down in that place. You don't know that's one of the bad, you know, if I use the word, that's one of the most difficult punishments to give somebody. And that's why when they put the rich people in house arrest, people say, yeah, oh, yeah, come on, Lord, one man, one. House arrest for a rich man is a big deal. You don't know that? House arrest for a rich man is a big deal. So there's none of us that can wait except there's a power, there's a strength to wait. The immediate reaction for us in trouble is to move. The immediate reaction for us during the day of depression, the immediate reaction for us in the days of trouble is to move. You become restless. You want to talk to a friend. You want to talk to a man. You want to go to the mountain. You want to whatever. You know, but the thing that you cannot do is to wait. And say, God, I'm waiting until you show up for me. That is the challenge all of us we have. You want to go and look for a counselor. You want to look for somebody to talk to. You want to look for somebody to lay hands upon you. Oh, there's a program somewhere. You bring your anointing oil. You know, buy your anointing oil. Bring a 25 liter of water. We pray inside it. Your anointing oil. Yes. If they lay hands upon you, there's a crusade. Evangelist, meji. If you lay hands upon you, natwin. Why? Because the devil knows that the way to cheat you out of your destiny is to make you restless. Don't ever forget that. Learn to to it. I've been through that for some time in my life, learning to wait. I've been through a period that I run escalator. When I was in deep shit, I was in debt. I run to this one. It was so bad when I call like this. Pastor, no, Nimio. Pastor can be restless, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Jolani, oh, Yanni, Bekom, you're going to Monty Moffebury. But until I got to know this, I waited. Nobody taught me. God taught me. You know what God taught me? God taught me that heaven does not fall. It just looks like heaven wants to fall. So when I land that on Oleya, Do you understand that? You know, say we are coming from Lagos. That's after I've learned to wait. Fall, I'm unclosed, so I'm still waiting for you. I waited. I'm sure as I was saying the Roman Bangabele. You know that they are debt recovery. They thought that I said, I'm waiting. I went to the car and said, hey, Cabo, our money. I don't have your money. But before they come like that, Matic Benya 50. I just waited. And when they came, they said, we do this, we do this. I said, no problem. I said, before you do all that you want to do, let me take you to somebody. And they said, okay, no problem. We enter into car. I'm not going to Walateko. I get your mark. Anyone not to go room. So they collected money for hotel and everything. And I took them to somebody. Darling, bring check. Just wrote it. When you learn to wait, it is tough. I learned it through tears. I learned it through embarrassment. I became ashamed. But glory to God today, I'm sharing this testimony. If I did not wait, I'd not be here preaching to you. If I did not wait, I'd not be here sharing this story with you. I won't have a testimony. God came when I know how to wait for him. God came. Some people may say, go and sell your property somewhere and then pay the loan. I say, I'm not selling. I say, I'm not going to use a permanent solution to solve a temporary problem. I was wise enough to know the shit I was going through was temporary. You know, the devil won't make you to think that the problem you have is permanent. It makes you to think that you are the only one suffering that problem. You're not going through that problem. You are not the only one. It don't share, go buy a loan, share. Then when you wait, strength will come. God gave me strength to face all the adversity. God gave me strength not to react to things I was saying. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Christians, they talk when you're in problem. Wait for it. Let the problem come. You find out that Christians, they will talk as though a John Genie. They talk about your life as though I'm a little beer. But when you have strength, you are not offended. You know that when you are in trouble, one of the things you must do is to protect your heart. Protect your heart against offense. Protect your heart against bitterness. You know why? If offense and bitterness will come in, you stay in the place of trouble more. But when strength comes, you become Tami Danu. When this person say, "Koye ni, emo worry, Oluwa dariji won won ti won se ni, Oluwa dariji won won ti won so ni." But you be able to sing that song when strength comes. The second thing that happens to you In the place of waiting, you know, I talk about waiting. We give you three things. The first one, I talk straight. The second one will be wisdom. In the place when you are waiting for God, when you stay and say, God, I'm waiting for you, you are not distracted. You are not jumping. You know, so it's in the days of trouble, God actually wants to speak to you. You know, he said, I'm with you in trouble. But you know what you do? If the Lord that is with you in trouble, you don't countenance him. Hey, well, I'm sorry, Lord. Okay, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, no, man. I know me there. What he's looking for in Shokoto is in his pocket, too. But when you got into a place of you wait, I say, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting for you. I'm hoping in you. Wisdom will come. It will tell you what to do. It will tell you who to go to. That's what happened to me that day. When they said, I don't know from where, I don't know where I came from. I just said, okay, don't worry. I want to go and get you to meet somebody. Wisdom comes when you wait. But before God taught me this, I got that strength. You know what happened? People will not help you, but they will tell your story. At least if you help me and you tell my story, they will not help you. They will see the moment they finish that conversation, walk before me. Ah, But when I cut everybody off, when I found out my help is not in the hand of any man, I waited. Wisdom come. The second that comes, besides strength, is wisdom. Let me tell you the one that will blow your mind. In the place of waiting, when you wait for him, the third thing that comes is flight, speed. God will grant you speed. You know that you've been waiting. Why waiting? This be empty lawful. While you're waiting, these bands are gone. When you're waiting, this jeep had gone. You know, they sped. You know, and then you're waiting. You know that you are tempted too. You want to say, oh my God, you see my junior. You say, oh my God, see my aburo. You say, oh my God, see this one. When I got 8 A's, he got 2 C's and 9 P8 or some D, and you get eight, and then you see the man with 2 C's and P8. You know, he's gone in his bench. You are tempted. You want to leave. You know, you get up, but because you have strength, you sit down again, and then you see another lady who is 23 years. Oh, God, my wife, your dedication. You want to get up, but because you have strength, you sit again. You are still looking, you know, for house rent. And then you see a young man. He said, Pastor, let's go for child dedication. You know that pastor dedicate houses and they don't have one? And then you want to get up. What do? You sit again because you got in strength. And when God comes, oh, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we don't know who you should wait for. You don't even know whom you are waiting for. When God comes, when God comes, you know what the Bible says? Paul, David, after he cried, he wept, and he went to God. He waited for strength. He said, should I pursue? And God said, pursue and overtake, and you are going to recover all. Ladies and gentlemen, when God comes upon your sin, all the wasted years will not make any meaning any longer. All the wasted money will not make any meaning any longer. You know what the Bible says? It says when the thief is caught, he will return sevenfold. You only need the thief to be caught. He will return sevenfold. Waiting on the Lord, we give you strength, we give you wisdom, and we grant you speed. I have three other points to make, but I'm going to round up here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Are you seated here this morning for any reason whatsoever? I don't want to know the reason, but you are tired. You've been beaten, drenched. You are tired. Wherever you're seated, can you just rise to your feet? You are beaten. You are tired. You just feel like you want to give up. You know, you feel like you want to give up. Things are so bad, tough, and tight. I want to pray with you. Thank you, my brother. You are born again, but you are going through a tough time. And look like you are losing it. You are losing it. You are losing strength. You are losing steam. And you don't want to do something stupid. Can you rise your feet wherever you are sitting? Ma pali ketele bashatala ba, pre ketala bash. Ne pala ba katala ba bashatala bash. Me bregatala ba 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 bregatala ba bash. Ba 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 bregatala ba bash. Me de ba 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 bregatala ba ba bash. Me de ba 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 bregatala ba 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 bash. Ba 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 bregatala ba 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 bregatala. Come and place your hands over your chest as I pray. Strength will come. I just want to pray strength, the strength of God. I want to pray the strength of God so that you can wait, so you won't do something stupid, so that you won't do something stupid, so you will not speak against God. I just want to pray strength. It's strength that you need, don't worry. Your tomorrow is better. Your tomorrow is brighter. Your tomorrow is bigger. Oh, your tomorrow is deeper. Le baba baya katala rababash. Bere baba 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 ragatala rabash. Mara baba 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 ragatala rabash. As I'm praying, strength will be coming. As I'm praying, strength will be coming. Bana baba baba ragatala rababash. Mere bo 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 rakatara rabash. Mara ba 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 rakatara rabash. Come and receive strength for the journey in the name of Jesus. Come and receive strength for the journey in the name of Jesus. Come and receive help for the journey in the name of Jesus. Come and receive strength for the journey in the name of Jesus. Come and receive help for the journey in the name of Jesus. I speak to the life of this young man and young woman standing up. Job said, Job 40:14. He said, all the day of I'm appointed will I wait until my chain come. Have declared that your chain come today in the name of Jesus. I pray that you receive visitation today in the name of Jesus. I pray you receive strength for the journey in the name of Jesus. You'll not be weary. You'll not give up. Because greater one is in you. The greater one resides in you. The greater one walks on the inside of you. In the name of Jesus. I want you to rejoice as many standing before me. I want you to rejoice. I want you to be glad because God is showing up for you. God is visiting you. This is not the end of your story. You have tomorrow that is better. You have a song that is better. And you have a testimony that is greater. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah to Jesus.